Got milk? Buckle up and grab a beverage. It's time for another fun-filled, action-packed episode of Male Encounters of the Life Kind. And now, to Den and Kaven. I mean, what? Somebody cut me off. I mean, now to David and Ken.
Oh, thank you so much, Stella! Going to be visiting here, sometime around Easter weekend. When's Easter weekend, Bill?
Easter weekend
weekend in April?
Is it this year? Last year it was the 17th. That was about halfway through April.
Yeah. Hey, Siri, when's Easter?
Look at your calendar, fool.
April 9th.
April 9th.
April
okay.
9th, yeah.
It is earlier this year than last.
Well, welcome into Male Encounters of the Life Kind. Ken is on hiatus. He's got a little vacation going on. He's up visiting, I think, grandkids. So I invited Bill, who's been a guest before, and we actually worked together at KRSJ. He does mornings on KRSJ. I do mornings on KIQX.
And then you do afternoons on KRSJ.
And then 12 hours a day. I don't know how people can tolerate that. Thank God they're on two different formats because...
Well, you know, you let them know what the tune is called, so it's all good.
I knew you were going to bring that up at some point in time. Well, we are at Traeger's Bar in Farmington, New Mexico, right across the street from the college. I want to tell you they got Singo every Wednesday night, and then trivia on Thursdays. Typically, that all starts around 6:30.
We should stick around. We could probably kick butt at that one.
At trivia? Oh, yeah. Man. The problem is it goes way past my bedtime.
Well, yeah, but collectively, we got 80 years of asking trivia questions.
That's true. That's very, very true. That's every game I've ever played on the radio had something to do with some sort of trivia.
Mm-hmm.
Or every game that, I had the brain strain. What is yours called?
Well, I got country trivia and then ridiculously random trivia. And the other day, I saw this question. I was like, I've asked that one before. I've already asked that one. And then after the contest was over, I'm driving home. Well, hell yeah, you asked it, but it was 1994.
Yeah. That happens to me a lot. I'm like, okay, so did I do this? No, I don't think I've done that at this stage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. See, that was a decade ago.
Yeah, that happens. All right, so Wednesdays and Thursdays, they're open 4 to 11. And then Fridays and Saturdays, they're open 4 to midnight. And they have the upstairs. You can rent that out. When they're really busy, they have that open up as well. We're going to record a show up there at some point in time.
Oh, let me know when you do that. I want to come hang out.
Yeah, Ken and I have decided we're going to do that. Some,
a bird's eye view.
Summer. Yeah.
And they're also the home of the best old fashions in town.
They do have it. Well, Nancy is... quite the mixologist, I would like to say.
Yeah, I don't know if it's actually the drink or the fact that she makes it that I like so
much.
Yeah,
I think it's a combination of both.
Be.
Yeah. Well, you and I kind of talked a little bit during the week, last week, about when I invited you to come co-host about what we should talk about. And, there's a lot of things that we could talk about. I want to talk about some old radio days as well. But one of the things that came to mind... that's near and dear to both our hearts, especially when it comes to radio advertisement. It's commercials and the old type commercials. By the way, you've produced some really nice funny commercials.
Yeah, thank you.
Our mind is getting what's the word I'm looking for? Provoking, mind provoking commercials. But and you had kind of challenged me about some of the earliest ones I saw and I.
On television, yeah.
Yeah, on TV. The one that comes to mind almost without fail is the Oscar Mayer Wiener.
Oh, yeah, the little kid singing?
Well, that's the bologna. I think he's talking about...
Yeah, that is the bologna, yeah. My bologna has a first name.
Yeah, that's the one. Not the Wiener, but the bologna. Oscar Mayer bologna, yeah. My bologna has a first name. And cute little kid, curly little hair.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's the one. And the other one is... Hey, Mikey, he likes it.
Yeah, the Life cereal commercial.
Yeah.
He never said a word in that.
No, but a cute kid, too. And he looks very similar to the Oscar Mayer guy, kid.
Yeah, now that you mention it, there.
A little bit.
Yeah. And all the other different characters, you had Mr. Whipple. Remember Mr. Whipple?
Oh, yeah. Don't squeeze the Charmin.
Don't squeeze the Charmin.
And there had some innuendos in there that will that go to the roof and back for sure. Where's the beef?
Clara Peller.
Yeah, I absolutely.
Was that Wendy's? That was a Wendy's commercial.
That was a Wendy's commercial. Thank you, Nancy, very much. Oh, look at all those olives. Oh, one of my all-time favorites.
You got a salad there with a straw in it.
Yeah, I did, exactly, pretty much. Well, I love her Bloody Marys, too. I know she does those old-fashioned. I've had those, too. But the Bloody Marys are, oh, my God, they're killer as well. All right, so we had Mr. Whipple. And where's the beef? That was one of my favorites too, Clara.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. I love that old lady.
That was a Wendy's commercial. And the scene where the it opens up and they're in a beauty salon and gal's got her fingernails soaking in a nail salon. She's got it soaking in some kind of blue solution and she's talking to the nail tech. And all of a sudden they start talking about dish soap and the old gal says, "You're soaking in it now."
Yeah, that was an advertisement for Dawn, wasn't it?
Palmolive. Palmolive, yeah.
Yeah.
Madge was
way,
her name.
Yeah, way before Dawn, Palmolive was out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then the different shampoos, like Breck, where you get a gallon of shampoo for 50 cents. Remember that?
Yeah, I do. I don't remember any of their commercials, but I do remember the shampoo.
Oh, they always had some. Somebody with shimmering golden hair and luxurious black hair that just flowed across their shoulders. And then they showed somebody that hadn't used Breck and it looked like a wire brush.
Yeah, well, of course.
Then the dog food commercials.
Oh, the Chuck Wagon. That was...
Chuck Wagon. That was the best.
Yeah, that's going to be one of your favorites for sure.
Oh, yeah, easily.
The Chuck Wagon going through the house and the dog chasing it.
Yep.
Was that Purina that did that? I guess it probably had to have been. Purina's kind of been the leader.
I don't remember who made Chuck Wagon. It's not, they don't make it anymore.
Oh, yeah. Well, you would know. How many dogs you got? Three?
Yeah, I got five.
Five, yeah.
Yeah, running a little late because I had a Renegade Corgi who he just thought it was great fun to play, you know, chase. He wasn't in trouble. He knew it. He just started to get the zoomies and he'd get up to about a foot and a half away from me and then take off and he was 30 yards away in the blink of an eye.
How old is that one? He's
about a year and a half.
Yeah. Most of them you have are fairly young.
Yeah, they? Except the first one, the tricolor. She's about 10 years old. She doesn't get the zoomies anymore.
Yeah, well.
She just sits there and shouts as they run by.
Is she shouting dumbass? Is that?
I don't. And dog, it's probably you're not playing right. Slow down. Yeah. I don't know. She's the mama.
Yeah.
And then she's the grandma.
Oh, really? So you have a kind of a double litter then?
Well, I don't have any of the grandkids anymore.
Ah.
They were farmed out. But I've got a mom and two siblings.
Ah, nice.
A brother and sister.
Well, my ex's, my first wife, her sister's child, who is grown, who is older, and she has a corgi. Absolutely loves her corgi. Talks about it all the time. Has pictures of it on Facebook all the time, too. So I thought, well, it can't be too bad. She's got them. Bill's got them. They can't be too bad.
They're fun dogs. The great thing about having five corgis as opposed to five of the previous breed I had was they are corgis, but they are, you know, little turd factories. I can't imagine having five huskies. Good Lord.
Little turd factories.
Yeah.
I had a black Labrador.
Oh, love Labradors.
Yeah, well, he was such a good dog, too, but he would leave piles that, well.
Who let the horse in the yard?
Exactly right. That's exactly right. And, you know, wouldn't harm a person unless you tried to harm us. And then he was like, you know, he was 110 pounds. So he's a big dog. Big dog. All right. Well, we kind of got off subject.
Yeah, we did.
We were talking about dog food commercials and ended up talking about dogs. But
you remember the other shows growing up? Just maybe kind of in between our times, the Schoolhouse Rock. I was thinking about that earlier, too.
You know, I do somewhat remember those. Some of my kids, my Older kids, yeah, that was Schoolhouse Rock. But I don't, you know, that was kind of off in the...
You were pretty much an adult by the time those rolled through.
Yeah.
The, what, I think those were popular in the mid-70s.
Yeah.
That's what you saw on Saturday mornings and then after school shows. And then the Westerns from back in that era, too, from the 50s all the way.
Oh, I
can't... I've been a big fan lately of the television channel Grit. And I discovered, I didn't even know it existed, was a show called Tales of Wells Fargo.
Really?
I had no idea that was ever out there. And
I'm assuming that's a Stagecoach show.
It's around the whole Wells Fargo company.
Yeah.
And there's the main character is special agent for Wells Fargo. Jim Hardy is his name, is played by Dale Robertson. And it's interesting, some of the old actors that have showed up on it. Probably a 17-year-old Michael Landon.
Oh, gosh.
There was one episode that had Charles Bronson and James Coburn in it before anybody knew who they were. I can't think of the guy's name, but he was Uncle Joe on Petticoat Junction.
I remember him.
He has a recurring role in it as a wannabe reformed criminal who's just too old to do anything and get away with it, but bless his heart, he tries.
You know, I can so remember, I do not remember commercials from those, but I so remember staying up late when I stayed with my grandparents when I lived in Kansas City, Missouri, Raytown. They were in Raytown, Missouri, which is a suburb of Kansas City.
Oh, yeah?
And my grandfather was a big Gunsmoke fan. So I can so remember staying up with him. I don't remember any of the commercials, but I remember, you know, we would have Vienna sausages.
Yeah.
And crackers and... Gosh, what else did he eat? Sardines. That's how I learned, got an acquired taste for sardines.
Oh, yeah. Gunsmoke has been around forever. It was radio before it was television. And William Conrad was the voice of Matt Dillon on radio. And he ended up doing...
Really? I did not know that.
He ended up doing the television series Cannon. He was a private detective.
Yeah, Cannon. I remember.
And, you know, figure, okay, you have James Arness, a strapping young, tall... man, and then you got William Conrad, who's like, you know, a cannonball with legs.
Right.
Who are you going to go with is Matt Dillon. Okay.
Yeah. That's kind of like how I have done with voice work.
But, you know, William Conrad was such a talented voiceover actor.
Oh, yeah.
He did he was the narrator for the Rocky and Bullwinkle cartoons. That's him narrating.
Are you kidding?
Narrating with Rocky and Bullwinkle. In that kind of high-pitched,
yeah,
really over-the-top announcer voice, that's William Conrad.
Yeah, I did not know that.
Yeah,
that was one of my favorite cartoons. It was,
oh yeah,
Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Love those.
Do you
Moose and Squirrel?
Yeah, Moose and Squirrel. Do you remember Popeye?
The cartoon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, did you watch it much when I was a kid?
It comes on Saturday mornings on MeTV.
Does it really?
Yep, 6 a.m.
When I was a kid, it played all the time. It was our Saturday morning cartoon. But it was Gus and Tori was like, it was a Captain Kangaroo kind of character.
Oh, yeah?
One of them, I think it was Gus, was a puppet, and Tori was the adult. But that was out of Kansas City. It was a regional show, Kansas City, and they always had Popeye on. But Gus was always saying that he could... This is not how he put it, but he was getting around to the fact that he could kick Popeye's ass with or without spinach. And so I always got the little puppet, you know, so I always got a big kick out of watching that, thinking, yeah, sure you can. Nobody can kick Popeye's butt. Nobody.
Do you remember who Captain Kangaroo's sidekick was?
Mr. Green Jeans.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I do.
And then he had the grandfather clock.
Yes.
The talking grandfather clock.
I remember that. You know, he's like an ex-Marine, too.
Oh, he was a badass.
Yeah, he was decorated Green Beret or something. I don't remember.
He actually, if I remember the story right, his unit was pinned down or getting annihilated on Normandy, and he stood up and took over and just started directing traffic. And you go here, you shoot that guy, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, Bob Keeshan.
Yeah. I always liked him. And, you know, you always thought he had a real gentle soul, but then I started reading the biography on him, like, oh, my God, I won't want to mess with him. That funky haircut that he had, you know, I was like, yeah, no.
Mr. Rogers?
Oh, absolutely.
Always had long-sleeve shirts because he was former military, and he had more tattoos than a Hell's Angel biker.
Yeah, yeah. He was not the soft-spoken guy that he portrayed.
And cool. Even the guy that... The art guy, what was his name, with the happy brush or the happy trees?
Oh,
he was ex-military. I think it was
bushy hair. Yeah,
yeah,
I remember.
Either Korea or Vietnam, and he went through some pretty hair-raising experiences. And that's how he dealt with that. Was he went and got into painting and just said, I'm letting it go. Just letting all of that go.
Yeah, some way to get bent that.
Yeah,
we've had a guest on this show. I'm wondering how Lonnie's doing, but he's ex-military too, but he struggles with that. They call that PSD.
PTSD.
PTSD, yeah. But yeah, that it's not, you know, that stuff's not easy, man. It's not, it's not all glam and glory. It takes a little bit to kill somebody. You think you can handle that, but then the kind of dealing and death that they had to deal with.
Yeah, I think one of the best things to kind of put it in perspective that I've ever heard was actually from a movie, Clint Eastwood. In that one with the Morgan Freeman, The Unforgiven.
Oh, yeah. It's been years since I've seen that.
He says, a hell of a thing to kill a man. You take every way, everything he's got, and everything he ever will have.
Wow.
And that's it.
Yeah, no, that's deep.
Yeah.
But that's true.
But on a more pleasant subject, going back to the Saturday morning stuff, you know, like I said, that Popeye comes on Saturday mornings, and... You know, I'm used to getting up at 3 o'clock anyway, so I'm awake. I just turn the TV up a little bit and lay there and watch Popeye and Pink Panther. And then Tom and Jerry come on. I never was real big on Tom and Jerry.
They were okay.
Yeah, if there wasn't anything else on. But then, you know, the crown jewel of the Saturday mornings comes on, Bugs Bunny.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
But I also remember as a kid... Back in Wyoming watching, you know, Gumby.
Oh, absolutely.
And Pokey.
Pokey, yeah. I used to have the Gumby and Pokey little dolls.
I did
dolls.
Too, yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what was about that show that was so intriguing, but it had captured me for
Claymation
sure.
too, wasn't it?
Yeah.
For the most part.
Yeah. You know, I before I forget, because I've forgotten twice now, but one of the shows that I never missed on a Saturday morning was Here He Comes to Save the Day. You remember that?
Mighty Mouse.
Mighty Mouse, yeah.
Did you ever see the British version of that?
No, never.
Danger Mouse.
Danger Mouse.
You can pull up YouTube videos of that. You should do that.
I will.
It's British humor, and it's for kids, but there's a lot of subliminal adult. That word blew out of there, didn't it?
Yeah, I'm impressed.
Well, I blew it. Subliminal adult humor in there that if you're paying attention, you're like, did he just say that? Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's British humor. They can get away with that, I guess.
They've always had some of those shows that I used to watch, they would have that kind of humor in them, and you would, you know, your kids would be watching and you'd go, And you'd look at them, they're like totally oblivious. So
yeah,
it was good.
Benny Hill.
Oh,
perfect
yeah.
Perfect example.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my
Monty
God.
Monty Python.
Monty Python. Absolutely. Well, I'll tell you some other shows, too, that I really enjoyed. And, you know, if they were on today, it would cause riots. But that's like Archie Bunker, All in the Family.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we've raised a nation of...
Wimps.
Well, I didn't want to say wimps, but they get their feelings hurt so easily.
They're wimps.
Well, yeah.
And that's putting it mildly.
Can you imagine? I mean, we don't have any show like that on air that I know of.
I don't watch network TV anymore, hardly at all.
Well, I don't either.
There's just, I would like to catch the show. I've seen it advertised, and it looks like it might be pretty entertaining, called Ghosts. But I never catch it.
Yeah.
I would much rather watch the old shows on MeTV, you know, the MASH and then Andy Griffith.
Oh, MASH. I never missed an episode of MASH when it first came out.
Yeah.
Never. I mean, the world stopped rotating when MASH was on.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's the Beverly Hillbillies.
Oh, yeah. Never missed the episode.
Green Acres.
Petticoat Junction.
Hogan's Heroes.
Oh, yeah.
And that rounds out my night. If I make it to the second episode of Hogan's Heroes, because it goes from 9 to 10, if I make it to the 9:30 episode, I'm burning the midnight oil. But, yeah, that's what I do instead of watch network TV anymore, because I don't agree with their, their wokeness. I don't.
Yeah.
I lived through it. I'm okay. My dad lived through it. He's okay.
Yeah,
you lived through it. You're fine. Well, that might be stretching.
Yeah, you're grabbing through straws now, man. Yes. You know, like taking Elmer Fudd's gun away, I never wanted to shoot. I mean, that didn't even want to make me shoot rabbits. If anything, it kept me from shooting rabbits because I didn't want to run into a Bugs Bunny.
I'm sure you've seen this thing on the internet when back in the 70s and 80s when we were getting our vehicles, the owner's manual told you how to set the timing and set the valves. Now the owner's manual for these snowflakes, well, wimps, tell you not to drink the contents of the battery.
I know.
You have to be told that?
Yeah, I don't get that either. That is, there's a lot of things like that, you know, and I've seen different warning labels, and, you know, people take pictures of them. That's one of the reasons why I like to stay on Facebook. It kind of keeps me up to date, but people take pictures of actual labels and then circle, like, you know, do not drink this. This is not for human consumption.
Yeah.
Really?
It's motor oil.
Yeah. But see, we also had those guys, those kids that did the Tide Pods. You remember that? Killed a couple.
Again, why would you do that?
Well, you know, I remember doing challenges when I was a kid. A young teenager, a real young first, doing stuff that was stupid, but not...
Sailing off the end of a ramp over two friends of yours on a big wheel.
Yeah.
That was a challenge.
Yeah, exactly.
Swallowing a plastic soap-filled pod, not so much.
No.
What's the challenge there? Yeah. That you live or you die?
Yeah. Yeah, I never understood that. Did you play Army when you were a kid?
Oh, my God.
And you just had a stick, right? And like...
Well, yeah, we had sticks, and then we had those... they looked like actual military... There were BB guns. And it was the last time I played with one of those things, because I got shot, and I just threw my hands up and...
I'm done.
And let go of the gun, and... I kept waiting for it to hit the ground, and it did, and I was like, it's going to hit me. And about the time I ducked, right on top of my head, and I had to have tossed it up 20 feet. Oh, did it hurt. I didn't use that gun ever again when we played. No.
Well, you know, when I lived in Missouri, I had a big lab. My folks had a big lab that was, like, with me everywhere. You know, I was all of maybe 10, 11, somewhere in that age, 12. Because I became a teenager out here, so somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Well, there was a nice big open field close to the house. We walked everywhere. There weren't fences between houses at all. You walked everywhere. But I had this big black lab. This is a little bit small, about 90 pounds this dog was, but it was my protector. And I would get in these dirt clawed fights. You know, you'd find the dirt claws and you'd throw them at each other. And I always liked... If I whimpered, that dog would chase whoever hit me with the claw. So I would always try the guys I didn't like, you know, just make sure I got hit.
Well, we would even play with BB guns, but we had rules. You didn't
shoot. Yeah, we never did that.
You didn't shoot at anything from the shoulders up. And if they were within 15 feet, you didn't shoot. Except for my cousin, Terry.
Terry, you're in deep doo-doo.
Yeah, we called her Terrible Tear. And we were out camping, and she leveled off at me from the other side of a sagebrush and tagged me right in the tummy with a Daisy Red Rider at point-blank range and squealed with such delight.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure she got a kick out of that.
Oh, she did, yes. So thrilled.
Well, I don't know that we ever... I don't recall ever playing Army with girls. But I do. There was... there was we had this game that we called with the neighborhood girls.
Uh-huh.
Right before I left Kansas City, Raytown. So I was about 12, somewhere in there. Seventh grade. That it was called Kiss and Chase. It should have been called Chase and Kiss, but what they would do was the girls would chase the guys, and if they caught you, then you got a kiss.
Right.
So you're at that age where almost you're just now experimenting. You're not sure you like it. You know you like girls, but you're not, cootie thing is starting to go away. But my favorite thing to do was to see where they were coming and then turn around backwards like I'm sneaking away and then back into them like I'm looking around over this way. And so they would come around the side of the house and they think they were catching me, but it was planned all along. I don't know how many.
So you've been devious for years.
I have been a little bit, yeah.
If we ever played that, I'd still be sitting there on the can waiting for someone to find me.
Well... I don't know. I was a much thinner, better-looking kid when I was younger. I hate telling this story, but they had actually had the girls in the neighborhood, and I would get them together, and we would put on shows for the neighbors, for the kids' parents in the neighborhood, all the parents, neighborhood parents.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. We'd do these shows, right? And they would act like they were singing, and they would act like they were the backup, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, I've been doing that kind of crap since I was like 10 years old, man. Anyway, I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, so I was like the stud monkey of the neighborhood. I was the best looking boy, the oldest boy in the neighborhood. And so everybody flocked to me. All the girls flocked to me until Brad moved in.
Brad
was older, not much, a couple years older, but he was a heartthrob. And
I had an evil Brad in my past too. I can sympathize.
Well, they used to have it. They had a David Club. The girls had a David Club. Okay, until Brad moved in, and then it went from the David Club to the Brad Club. Oh. And shortly after that, we moved out of Kansas City. So I'm so glad that it was over, but it scarred me for life, man.
That would be devastating. Yes, I can see where a young man,
yeah,
10 years old, would, after...
just figuring out you might like girls.
And then see your fan club evaporate.
Yeah.
Just like that.
Yeah. Oh, it was like overnight, it was done. Over with.
Because of Brad.
Brad, yeah, I can't remember his last name. But Brad, if you're listening, I still hate you.
My nemesis was Brad Bell.
Bell?
Brad
Bell. That's easy enough
Bell.
To remember.
Yes, he and I were at odds from virtually day one.
Really?
Yes.
You grew up in?
Wyoming.
Wyoming.
Big Piney, Wyoming. And I don't know if it was the last incident between us or if there was one more. But you know those little kid garden rakes? Just the little, one-inch dowel rod with the flimsy metal rake.
Right.
Well, I was going to apparently grow crops on the top of his head with verve. And I took that to his scalp, and he bled. And I felt vindicated. Can't tell you what for at this stage in my life, but that's the last thing I really remember. No, I take that back. Years later, he stole my bike.
Oh, well, see.
Until my dad got home from work, and then all of a sudden it was there again.
Did dad go get it? Is that what we're thinking?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
Dad walked down the road a little bit, and there was Brad riding my bike, and he said, that needs to go home now. Yes, sir.
So the only time my dad... in Kansas City, we lived I just started junior high. In those days, it was junior high. We lived kind of inner city. The school I went to was inner city. And it was primarily black. I think me and about four other people were like only Caucasians and boys. And I can remember having to run home from school every day. Every day.
Me
and
really?
The three guys. And my dad, he was home early for some reason, and I came in the house, and I'm kind of not really crying, but he could tell, you know, I was upset.
You're upset, yeah.
And he goes, "What's going on, son?" He goes, "Well," and so I explained it to him. I didn't really want to tell him, but I explained it to him. He goes, "Well, here's what I want you to do." He said, "There's a 2x4 out in the garage. It's about 3 foot long. I want you to get that." Actually, it was a little longer than that. It's probably about, it felt like it was 8 foot long because, you know, I was that wasn't quite as tall as I am now. And so he goes, "I want you to get that. I want you to put that out in that field. And when you come home tomorrow, those guys start chasing you. I want you to reach down and pick that up."
And away we go.
And wail on him, he said. I said, but you know, my eyes got real big. I'm like, really? Thinking, I don't think I can do that. You know? I can beat the shit out of my brother, but I don't think I can. So I said, okay. And so I did that. And the next day, I got two buddies with me, or three. And, you know, we hear behind us, "Get them!" And they take off. Off they go. I don't know. There were four or five of them. And I just walked very quickly over to where I knew I'd put that 2x4 and put my books down. And my buddies are screaming, come on, man. They're going to get you. And I just turned around, faced them, and they kind of circled me. And I took a deep breath. And they're kind of laughing and messing around.
It's a good day to die. And
I don't know what I was thinking. I know my butt was puckered, but I reached down and grabbed that 2x4, and I just closed my eyes and started swinging. I don't know, honestly, Bill, if I hit a single one of them. I don't know. I didn't ever felt any resistance because I was just swinging like there was no tomorrow. My eyes were closed tight. When I opened my eyes, was that old adage, all I could see was elbows and assholes. They were running in all different directions the other way. And you know what? My dad was absolutely right. They never bothered us again.
Really?
Yeah. So I had all the weak kids in school were hanging around, hanging on me after that. But my dad got us out of Kansas City shortly after that. I think he decided he just wasn't the right place. And he was on the road all the time, too.
I was always fairly passive in school. I was one of the bigger kids physically. I didn't have that mentality, but, you know, because of that, nobody really messed with me, except for Tim Murphy.
You remember their names?
Well, my brother ended up marrying his sister.
Oh.
Which is completely another story that we may talk about in the future. But Tim was about just less than 3/4 of my size. But he had the Napoleon complex.
Mm.
And he made friends with the biggest kid, who was Dave Powell.
You got them all memorized.
I got them all memorized. And he would pick on me mercilessly. And even before Dave, he would just pick on me. And I just, because he was so small, I just didn't want to mess with him. He was just an irritant. Mm. You know, he's like a mosquito that you cannot catch quick enough to kill. And he caught me in a bad mood one day walking down the hall in school. And back then we had these, you know, the tall 6-foot lockers.
Right.
And he just kept picking at me, picking at me, picking at me. Finally, I just dropped my books. I turned around. I picked him up and looked. And there's a locker right behind him that was open, shoved him in the locker, and slammed the door, and I turned around at Dave, and I said, "All right, hit me." And he just laughed and walked off. And you can hear Timmy pounding on the door. "Let me out, let me out." I don't know how long he was in there. I think a teacher finally let him out.
Well, you know, I got 1,000 stories. I'm sure you do as well, but we are definitely out of time. I do want to tell you, I appreciate you coming down.
Go on, Joy. Thank you.
Yeah, you know, the libations are great and the view's not too bad. So,
no, it's not.
So we're glad you could join us. All right, man. Well, listen, you got any last words you want to?
No, thank you. I enjoyed it. I look forward to being able to do this again with you sometime if you ever
Absolutely. You know what? I will put you on the call list if I'm out of town and Ken's recording, because he's done that before too.
Yeah.
So actually, when I was having my surgery, he recorded and I called right in the middle of the recording. As a matter of fact, I was a little loopy, but I got to add my two cents. Yeah, we'll keep that in mind for sure, Bill. Thank you, man. Appreciate it. All right, we've been at Traeger's. It's our regular Thursday thing. Don't forget about their Singo every Wednesday night, trivia on Thursdays. Both of those start typically at 6:30. They're open Fridays and Saturday nights from 4 to midnight, and then Wednesday, Thursday, they're open 4 to 11. And don't forget about the upstairs. If you've got a big party, you need to want a place to do that, you can. They will take good care of you.
And an honest-to-God, well-made old-fashioned, not with syrup.
Oh, and the Bloody Mary, same way, yeah. It's
salad with a straw.
Yeah, they know what they're doing. They have true... I don't know that mixologist, I guess, is the best way to put that.
Bartender, probably, yeah.
But yeah, she's a mixologist for sure.
Knows what she's doing.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Thank you, man.
Okay, friends, that's it for this week. Don't worry, they'll be back next week thanks to their wonderful sponsors.
Pinyon Hills Dental, located at 4725 Foothills Drive, Farmington, New Mexico.
Francisco's New Mexican Restaurant, featuring New Mexican cuisine.
If you hire Ken Collins Marketing to build your website, people who look for you online will be able to find you.
This program is sole property of InterWest Concepts, all rights reserved. For permission to use any of the programming, contact InterWestConcepts.com. You're welcome to contact us there for any commentary, the good, the bad, the ugly. That's it for now, until you join us again.
Be excellent to each other.
Always wear your clean underwear.